America's game. Now stop humming, it's everything to change. That Warped Tour made you open your brain. Eric Vanek is here, so remember the name. Dropping the podcast every week. You know the knowledge is elite. After the show, we gon' hold a Lombardi. Celebrating like we throwing a party. This the blueprint and I know they gon' copy. Cause my intros always go the hottest. Cause this is America's game.
Up, everybody, welcome back into America's Game, episode number 64. I'm your host, Eric Vanek. You can find me on Twitter at Eric Vanek NFL. You can also follow the show at America's Game Pod on Twitter as well. And joined by Mike, what's going on, buddy?
What's happening, man? What's happening? I'm feeling good. My rowing machine came today, got to use it, just got done working out not too long ago, showered, feeling fresh. Ready to go, man. Tuesday.
Nice. Yeah, it's Tuesday night. Actually, it was a pretty big NFL day overall. We had three trades that went down today.
Damn. We're out here cooking.
Yeah, these GMs were up cooking, that's for sure.
Usually you get this like in the NBA. You don't get this kind of shit in the NFL.
I'll take it, though. For sure. And, so three big trades we're going to tie in to talk about here. Go over... the fantasy outlooks for all six teams involved in these trades. So we'll do that. But how's your fantasy season here going? We're at week 7, pretty much the halfway of fantasy before the playoffs start. They start week 15. So we're at the halfway point. How are your teams looking so far?
It was a rough start to the year. I think there's a lot of people who kind of experienced that, though. You know, when you're built around quarterbacks and wide receivers and, you know, the running backs are taking the cake. And here these last couple of weeks, though, things have kind of shifted back to kind of what we expected. For those of you who pay attention to the Warp tool, you'll see a quarterback warp on the rise, running backs starting to go down into the shitter. All's becoming right with the world. So a lot of those struggling teams earlier, all of a sudden I'm looking at it going like, all right, we made it. We're fourth place. All right, time to go.
Yeah. Now. That's how it was in my FFPC leagues. I was looking at my list and I was like out of the playoffs or like just barely in. And then now I'm seeing a lot of ones, twos, and threes of positions where I'm at. So the last couple of weeks, yeah, I've definitely been moving up too. But to your point, like the running backs this year, man, they've been the ones carrying the mail for us this year. I saw an interesting stat on Twitter that, you know, obviously Tyreek, Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, Jamar Chase, and Amon-Ra St. Brown were your top five receivers pretty much in every single league this year. Of those five players, they've combined for a top five finish four times this year. That's it.
Woof. Yeah. No.
The guys that are supposed to be smashing for you every single week have only been in the top five of wide receivers four times this year, which is pretty crazy.
That doesn't inspire a lot of confidence, man, especially when you got like guys like Rashid Shaheed up there, you know, being a wide receiver, you know, very solid wide receiver two, wide receiver one on some weeks. You know, you got these rookies, Brian Thomas coming out, performing very well throughout the season so far. Obviously, we know what Malik Nabers does when he's on the field.
Yeah, when he's not attending concerts.
Stephon Diggs, the old standby, just out here dominating Warp. Like, who knew?
Yeah, I mean, he's doing that mostly on touchdowns. I don't even think he's had a 100-yard game yet, to be honest with you.
Doesn't need it, man.
Yeah, he doesn't need it. That's for
Jane
sure.
Jayden Reed also out here dominating Warp, and he's like, I don't even need the volume.
No.
You don't got to target No,
I bought that one hook, line, and sinker this offseason. I was like, oh, I don't want any Jayden Reed. Like, he's only going to play like 50% of the snaps. Guess what? Don't fucking matter. The guy's guy's a good ball player.
I had people as near as 2 weeks ago telling me I was an idiot for believing in Jayden Reed. And go buy Dontavian Wicks. First game stunk, and the second game he got injured. So.
Yeah, first game cost me fucking $700, asshole.
Whoops.
Yeah. Could have just caught one pass for whatever it was, 20 yards.
Apparently it was Jayden Reed this whole time.
Yeah. Yeah, fantasy, gotta love it. But yeah, that's you know, the wide receivers, man. Hopefully they just start kicking here, going. We got two of them that got traded today, so that's kind of where I wanted to start us off here. We'll start with the first trade that happened today, and that was Devontae Adams to the New York Jets to pair up with Aaron Rodgers once again. So, you know, we'll start with it on the Jets side first. I think I would assume Devontae Adams takes over that kind of alpha role again. I think he's the leading target guy. Yeah, you think so too? Okay.
Yes. Yeah. I was having a good time today kind of just scrolling through Twitter and, you know, seeing all the people out there posting, don't panic on Garrett Wilson, you know, like, or like, Garrett Wilson's a great buy low, you know, whatever, talent's going to overcome. And I'm like, yeah, I agree with you in most situations. Talent does. Just not your bestie. bestie, who obviously Aaron does have pull in that organization and got this deal done, and he got his bestie back. So for Garrett Wilson, who, I mean, we saw this last game with Buffalo. He did get targeted down the field, which was nice to see, because the prior game was, you know, 20-some targets and, you know, under 100 yards, which wasn't very, like, or 103 yards or whatever the hell it was. It wasn't that inspiring. It was a shit ton of targets, and you're like, can you, like, get used downfield a little bit, bud? Right. And now all of a sudden that target volume definitely comes into question big time. So, listen, for the rest of the year, I think it's, as long as Devontae Adams is healthy, it's the Devontae Adams show in the passing game, and Garrett Wilson's going to have to play second fiddle. And I don't think this is a good enough offense, especially with what they want to do with Breece Hall that we just saw on Monday night, a good enough offense to really have a clear, like, 1 and 1A situation, you know, an A.J. Brown and a Smitty, T. Higgins and Chase, Tyreek and Waddle, whatever the hell you want to throw in there, Buccaneers, you know, Mike Evans and Godwin. I don't even think it's that good of a situation. So I'm kind of just I'm going to sit back and I'm going to watch this, and there's going to be a lot of people who are really going to start shitting themselves on Garrett Wilson as we get, you know, 5-6 weeks into it, this trade being done. And then I think if you want to go buy Garrett Wilson, that's probably the time. Right now, nah, there's people digging their heels in, and I feel for them because they're going to look like assholes for the next few weeks for sure.
Yeah, that's interesting. I kind of look at it as a little bit like a Miami situation. Like, it's going to be the two stud receivers. Obviously, Miami hasn't been good this year because of Tua's injury. So, but I still think Adams is going to get his. Wilson, I won't consider him a wide receiver one weekly now, but wide receiver two, he's definitely in the wide receiver two range, kind of like Waddle is when Tua was there at least. So that's kind of how I think about with Wilson now. Is he going to get double-digit targets every single week? No, but he's probably in the 7 to 8 range. Like, it's still doable. Like, he's still somebody in fantasy that you can play. You know, Miami's got the running backs. You know, the Jets have a running back. I think the one thing with the Jets and Aaron Rodgers specifically is he likes to, if you play NCAA, he likes to put the chew the clock feature on when he is on offense, and he chews the clock and, you know, he'll call Hutt at like 1 or 2, like every single time. So he's always eating that clock. So that's going to be less plays for the offense in general. So yeah, it's definitely a bump down to Garrett Wilson, but I'm not like completely off of him or anything like that. I still think he's going to have a really good season. Would it shock me if both him and Adams have 1,000 yards this year? No. Like Tyler Conklin, I think that would affect him more. It affects Alan Lazard. It affects all these other guys more. I think Breece, Adams, Wilson, those would be the three guys that get the ball, or should get the ball.
It's going to be interesting to see where his volume falls in the spectrum of things. But one thing that also I think just I want the listeners to be aware of is going into it, Garrett Wilson was the number two wide receiver in red zone targets, and they just added the best red zone wide receiver that we've seen in a long time, who has that stupid chemistry with Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. So all those back shoulder throws that, you know, he was trying to feed Garrett Wilson in the end zone, yeah, those just evaporate into thin fucking air. So sorry. Yeah. Those are gone.
Yeah. I mean, I would even think Well, I mean, it hasn't proven to the point yet, but Lazard would probably even be more of a red zone threat than Wilson. But, Wilson's still going to get his. I'm not worried. It's just going to be maybe a little bit more inconsistent, maybe a little bit less on the touchdowns. So we'll see how it goes there.
If his market corrects more in Dynasty to, let's say, wide receiver 20-ish, somewhere around there, I'm in on Garrett Wilson. But until it does that, sorry, he's a sell. Like, you look at some of those wide receivers in that range, DK Metcalf, DJ Moore, Zay Flowers, T. Higgins, those are the names that stand out to me. I'd prefer him 1-to-1 over Garrett Wilson, especially on any type of team that's contending this year. Like, I'm trying to win games for sure because they offer bigger upside and more targets, consistent targets.
He's definitely taking a fall, because if I, said that at the beginning of the season, oh, I prefer Zay Flowers over Garrett Wilson, I would have laughed in your face.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I think, it's definitely a little bit of a step back, but I'm okay with it. I think it's still good. Like, Rodgers is still gonna do his thing, so I'm fine with it. So let's talk about it from the Devontae Adams standpoint. Is this somebody you want to go out and purchase right now?
Yeah, I think that's somebody you got to bump up. He's enjoyed very, very shitty quarterback play the last few years. I mean, we did get to enjoy it that first time when he stepped in, Vegas with Derek Carr, his old college teammate, and Derek Carr fed him, and everything seemed right in the world. Devontae Adams went out, produced. Didn't matter. He didn't have Aaron Rodgers. Still went out and produced alpha wide receiver numbers. Then you see when it's the Jimmy Garoppolo, and then the Aiden O'Connell show, and then the Gardner Minshew show, and now back to Aiden O'Connell again. And this offense refused to address the quarterback situation properly. It became very rough for Devontae Adams. Like, the targets were still there, but if you guys watch that receiver documentary on Netflix, like, the dude is actually feared for his life out there because these fucking quarterbacks are going to get me killed. So I would expect a not quite like the Randy Moss to New England to play with Tom Brady situation we had, but I'm kind of expecting something 70% of that, where all of a sudden, like, damn, man, Devontae Adams really did finish as a wide receiver one, average 18 points per game or 19 points per game for the rest of the season with Aaron Rodgers. So I could definitely see that situation. So I would definitely be interested in buying Aaron Rodgers, especially if his market doesn't correct from where it is right now.
Yeah, Rodgers and Adams, I definitely would like to buy. I already have quite a bit of Rodgers. I actually have quite a bit of Adams too. So, definitely a nice bump for both of those guys for sure. Lazard, I think the window's kind of closed on selling him, even after a couple big games
Yeah.
already this year. I mean, I think he's in best ball, he's still fine. Like, I'm not dropping him or anything. But as far as like any trade value, like he's probably worth a third now.
Yeah, that's sorry about that one. That was fun for a couple weeks, wasn't it? Like, oh, look at this nice
I
sneaky
mean, a lot
buy
of
that I had.
people dropped him after last year, so I got him off of waivers for free in some leagues.
Definitely.
So, if I can get a third, okay, sure, I'm fine with it. But I think it's okay holding him. Like, he's still gonna have a game or two. Like, Rodgers has produced three receivers before when he had Jordy Cobb, and James Jones had like a 13 touchdown season 1 year. So he can produce with three receivers. Now, obviously, he's a little older now than he was back then, but I think he's still gonna be fine. Like, it is what it is. And then sounds like Mike Williams is on the trade block.
Well, the guy hadn't been good for a few years, so that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, he was okay, but just the injuries have piled up on him for sure. He is 29, I think, and obviously signed a 1 year deal with the Jets, and they already said, hey, if somebody wants to come and get him, he's available. He's probably super cheap, like a sixth or seventh rounder, I think, gets Mike Williams. So I could see, I'm sure some team's gonna kick the tires on him. This is,
Somebody.
if Kansas City wants to kick the tires on him, like, I could see that.
Yeah, you could see something like that. Pittsburgh should be interested. You know,
Yeah,
as much shit
Pittsburgh
as I give
definitely.
Mike Williams, he'd be the number two receiver there because everybody else sucks.
Yeah.
They really are that bad. But
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how or where Mike Williams is going to end up. But I would assume somebody out there would be interested at the sixth or seventh round price tag. Like, yeah, we'll take him.
Oh yeah,
We'll
for
fuck
sure.
around
Yeah,
and
for the
find
rest
out.
of the season. Yep, see how he does. How about Tyler Conklin? Do you think he kind of not a back end tight end one anymore, probably more of just one of these random ass tight ends every single week. Hopefully he gets a touchdown.
Which in reality is pretty much every back end tight end one anyways.
Right.
Like yeah. Where you project their range of outcomes is, you know, one fantasy point a week to, you know, oh shit, he scored two touchdowns. Look at that. Look at that. He's tight end three of the week. So I think he probably just kind of stays in the same way. A lot of these tight ends in those ranges, I don't really look at target volume because it's so inconsistent anyway. So back end tight end one is pretty much the same as tight end 18. So I guess if you wanted to move him down on that, go for it. But he still just winds up into a giant tier of Hunter Henry's.
I think he's kind of fallen into the Dalton Schultz territory where Schultz has a running back now and three receivers when Nico's healthy. And now Conklin's the same way. He's got three receivers and a stud running back. So Conklin, his volume is going to be going down quite a bit here. And redraft probably droppable at this point, I would imagine.
Yeah. Yeah. He becomes more of that streamer kind of tight end option where you're like, I needed somebody this week. They got a nice matchup against shitty linebackers this week.
Yeah,
I'll start Cleveland. Tyler Cuff. Yeah. There you go. Against Cleveland.
Yeah. All right. Now let's kick it over to the Raiders side. So Jacoby Myers now becomes the number one for the rest of the season. Is that somebody you're interested in picking up with either O'Connell or Minshew, whoever is throwing him the ball?
Yeah, I think so, just because of volume. Like, where the hell else is it going, right? I don't think
it's Brock Bowers and Myers. That's it.
I don't really fear DJ Turner. I don't really fear Trey Tucker. I mean, that's a Dylan Lobby can't get on the field for more than one play where he fumbles it. So this is not like a big threat out of the backfield in the receiving work. And this is a bad team that's going to have to throw the ball. But, you know, they can want to be team established it all they fucking want. It's kind of like Seahawks from a couple years ago where people were like, Pete Carroll wants to run the football. Like, their fucking team's terrible. They're going to have to throw the ball eventually. When you're down 21-0 at halftime, I'm sorry, you're throwing the football at the second half. Plain and simple. Right. So, yeah, they're going to have to throw the ball. I think just from a volume play, yeah, why not?
Yeah, he's probably going to be a pretty steady wide receiver three for you in fantasy, I would say. Especially with the target volume. I think the number one guy that benefits the most out of this is Brock Bowers. He's easily the number one tight end for me the rest of the season. He should be getting peppered with 10 to 12 targets every single game for Brock Bowers. So that's kind of where I'm at with Bowers. Myers, wide receiver three-ish. The other receivers that step up now, so like Trey Tucker gets like the wide receiver two role. They still have like DJ Turner and
a lot of best ball guys right there.
Yeah, Christian Wilkerson they put in there. Tyreek McAllister. Yeah, just like a bunch of guys now. It's going to be pretty ugly.
The greatest thing is, Eric, you and I, we play video games. We play fantasy football, which is all offense. We watch a shit ton of college football. We're draft nuts. Those last two dudes that you just named, I have no idea who the fuck they are. I don't even think when we went through like our, you know, you and I sat down for like 2 hours and went through depth charts at one point, you know. I don't think they came up.
I will admit, McAllister was somebody that was not on my radar until like maybe a couple weeks ago. Christian Wilkerson, I've known for like 3 years at least. So
did he used to play for the Saints? Is that why
he was on the Patriots.
Oh, nope. I fucked that one up. That's how irrelevant he is.
Yeah, he was on the Patriots there for a couple of years. And then he went over to the Raiders, I think when McDaniels did, because obviously the Patriots and Raiders connection there. So when McDaniels went, that's when Wilkerson went, and he's kind of been on the practice squad ever since.
Well, fire him up, man. Let me pick him up in my 70-man roster best ball.
Yeah, like I think it's really just Myers and Bowers and a little bit of Trey Tucker for me. Like Trey Tucker did, like I don't think he even caught a pass this week, which was kind of scary. Considering Myers was out and Trey Tucker was the one. So that wasn't very good. But Trey Tucker is just like a complimentary piece. He's, you know, a deep ball guy. He can do some of the gadget plays for you. But I think this really benefits Bowers, really benefits Myers. And I think Amir Abdullah a little bit too. And Madison, they both catch the ball quite a bit. So guys out of the backfield, I could see them being like PPR type guys. Minshew or O'Connell, they are what they are. Like, I'm not like valuing these guys any higher or anything like that.
No, they'll probably get bumped down.
Yeah, they probably get a bump down. Yeah, if they're yeah, they went from like 32 to 33. Like some of the
Oh,
backup
yeah.
quarterbacks are passing. Yeah, so that's kind of it for the Raiders. Nothing really too major to go there. I think they're trying to get a top 10 pick, trying to get into that top five to get one of these quarterbacks that are probably coming out next year. I know last week me and Fizz we talked about the quarterbacks in the college class. I don't know if you were able to catch that one yet, Mike, but we kind of thought five quarterbacks in the first round I think is doable right now. Maybe a sixth, but I think five. I felt comfortable with Shadur, Carson Beck, Quinn Ewers, Jalen Milroe, and who is the fifth one that I'm missing?
Cam Ward.
Cam Ward, that's it. Yeah. So I think of those five, I think I feel pretty comfortable. Those guys are going in the first round. Maybe Ewers or Beck slips out, but I think Beck is still pretty highly regarded. And Quinn Ewers, I mean, the kid just gets better and better every week. So I think those five are pretty good for first round pick quarterbacks. Do you agree with that?
I think they're all perfectly average.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I don't think there's some super
No.
stud. I think one of them's going to be really good, or maybe two of them are really good.
Right.
Just who knows which one it is. It's like,
Right.
I think Milroe's got the most enticing upside for
Tantalizing upside.
me.
Yeah.
Yeah, like with his rushing ability, his throwing has come a long way from where it used to be.
You don't want a helmet scout, but that's like, it feels like Jalen Hurts, but a better athlete. Now,
Yeah.
I don't know about the intangibles because, Hurts is one of the hardest workers out there and a real team first guy and that kind of thing. So we'll see if Milroe comes close to it. But yeah, you want to talk about biggest upside in the class? Definitely him.
Yeah.
Definitely him.
I mean, Cam Ward is that kid's come a long way. So we know Shedeur Sanders has a lot of throwing talent. I think he still needs to refine some parts of his game. And then, like, I kind of compared last week, Quinn Ewers and Carson Beck to like Jared Goff, Kirk Cousins types.
Yeah.
Accurate, gonna get the ball in there on time and stuff, but like rushing upside, there isn't really much.
Those guys also kind of feel like Bo Nix, Mac Jones, like level prospects coming out where you're like,
Yeah.
listen, if you got into the right system, you could be really good, but we could also, Kenny Pickett's another guy you could throw in there. You get to the wrong system and you're done in a
Yeah.
couple of
Yeah,
years. So.
let's get you to a Kevin O'Connell, a Sean McVay, a Kyle Shanahan. Let's
Yeah.
get you to one of those guys.
And
Kevin O'Connell,
someplace with a nice offensive line, a weapon or two,
yeah.
and a creative offensive minded coach. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think the Raiders are going to be kicking the tires on one of those five guys next year. They're going to have to because, I mean, as much as I like Aiden O'Connell, he's just a backup at this point. And
Yeah.
Minshew, kind of the same thing. They're just
He's
backups.
Davis Mills.
Yeah,
He's
they're
Davis Mills.
solid. Yeah, like if you need them to play a game or two, they can do it and be okay. They can maybe win you the game too. But to lead a franchise to the playoffs, a Super Bowl, yeah, they're not going to be it, unfortunately.
Yeah, their ceilings are like Andy Dalton, but
Yeah.
they're Andy Dalton without, AJ Green and
Right.
good weapons.
Right. Exactly. All right. So let's go over to the second trade now. And that was Amari Cooper to the Buffalo Bills for a third round pick. So we'll start with it on the Buffalo side. Josh Allen finally gets a number one receiver again to play with. So I really like that upgrade for Cooper. Upgrade for Josh Allen too, because I was kind of getting worried there about Josh Allen this year with not great weapons. I did pull up the game logs for Amari Cooper from 2018. That was the year he got traded from Oakland to Dallas. So his first couple games with Oakland weren't great. First one for 9, then 10 for 116, then a 2 for 17, then an 8 for 128. And then a 1 for 10, and then he sat out because he got traded, And then he went to Dallas in week seven. So when he went to Dallas, man, he kind of hit the floor running. Eight targets right out the gate, 5 for 58, 6 for 75, 3 for 36, 8 for 180, and 2 touchdowns. An 8 for 76, a 10 for 217, 3 touchdowns. That might have been, was that the, that could have been a Thanksgiving game.
Mm-hmm.
No, it was the week after. Okay, I'm looking at the stats. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, Amari Cooper, he's proven before he can get traded in the middle of the season, same timeline here, and come in, step in, learn the playbook right away, and start playing. So if we get news that, hey, Amari Cooper is going right in this week and, you know, he's going to play some snaps, I'm totally fine with starting him this week with Josh Allen.
Yeah, I'm going to fucking fire him up, fuck around and find out, man.
Yeah,
he was
against
graded.
Tennessee too.
He was graded so far this year as the worst wide receiver in the league. But you know, Eric, you're in Cleveland. You know,
yep.
Hard to be motivated. Hard to be motivated on that team. So now he goes with Josh Allen. This is great for all my Cooper shares. It's great for all my Josh Allen shares. I don't see a lot of negatives here. Yeah. The only person that probably really hurts is all that Khalil Shakir love. Like that's. Mm-hmm. We're probably good on that one, you know.
I don't know. I think he's at least the number two wide receiver target now.
Yeah,
I think.
But what is that in a run first offense?
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
especially now that they just figured out that Ray Davis can actually play fucking football, and you know, even with
yeah,
James
well,
Cook,
I think they can
when
get back
James
to
Cook
their,
comes back, yeah, like
yeah, to their balanced offense that they've. You know, had the pass. So I think a balanced offense is going to be do them wonders. So I think with Cooper on the outside, you're going to have Shakir in the slot. The other outside receiver, I think, is still going to be Mac Hollins, to be honest with you.
He's like the Buffalo Allen Lazard, ain't he?
Yeah, he's a good blocker. So he's out there to block, especially on a run first team. Runs decent routes and all that kind of stuff. I kind of think this puts a hamper on Keon Coleman and Curtis Samuel. You just throw a fucking shovel full of dirt on him even more.
I think they haven't used a shit ton of Keon Coleman, right? Yeah. And they haven't really hyper-targeted him. Even if you look at snap shares, like he's not out there all the time. So I don't know if this is necessarily good or bad. I think it's probably going to be more of the same. But at least it lets Keon get a real wide receiver in there to kind of pick some things up on, you know, how to run routes, how to be a professional. Listen, he was learning from a hybrid in Curtis Samuel, and he's learning from a fifth round Boise State kid in Khalil Shakir and a blocking wide receiver in Mac Hollins. Like these are the ones who are tutoring him on how to be a wide receiver in the NFL. Not necessarily the greatest thing. So
yeah,
maybe this actually helps him for his long-term development. You know, I don't think it changes a real big outlook because we weren't expecting too much from him this year, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, you look at wide receivers, though, in the past, like if you don't hit in year one, it's, you know, kind of a uphill battle from there. Like,
right.
There's been obvious people that have hit after year one, like Jameson Williams this year comes to mind as a guy who's hitting after year one. So is, you know, Keon Coleman's career over? No, but it's definitely, I don't think he's going to be some weekly starter, top 24 dynasty wide receiver. I think he's just going to be kind of, you know, that back end wide receiver three. Hopefully he takes over for Mac Hollins next year and he's the number two or something. That's probably what the best case scenario is. And in fantasy and value and all that, that's not really worth much. He's probably worth a second at this point. Like, I ain't trading a first for the guy.
Right. At least he's not pacing for an absolute disgusting.
Yeah,
first
he's not
year.
Treylon Burks. Yeah.
Right. Or Quentin Johnston. I mean,
yeah.
the guy's probably going to end up somewhere around 500-600 yards at the end of the year as a rookie with Josh. I mean, that's not the worst thing. It's not a death sentence by. Because we've seen a lot worse, for sure. But obviously not like, oh, man, if he came out and he hit like 800 yards and had 5 touchdowns, you know, people would be a little bit more excited. I think it does put a little bit of a damper on that one. But I don't think it's too crazy, you know. You'll probably look up at the end of the year and he averaged 8 fantasy points a game somewhere around there. And you're like, yeah, some weeks I was lucky when I had to start him. And other weeks when I had to start him, I probably took a dump. He gave me 2 points.
There's a lot of fantasy owners out there right now that are ready to like throw up right now because they took Keon Coleman over Brian Thomas Jr. and Ladd McConkey and
Oh.
Xavier Worthy. You know it happened quite a bit in our leagues. These Keon Coleman truthers always with Josh Allen.
They pushed him up.
I didn't see it over those guys. I had Thomas and McConkey and Worthy all above him, and it's kind of proving out to be truthful so far. So, if you were one of those Keon Coleman truthers, I'm sorry for your luck there on that one. But yeah, he's somebody I'm not really counting on for the rest of the season. I think in redraft leagues, he's droppable.
Yeah, you could probably drop him. Yeah, that's
Yeah,
probably fair.
and I would say Cooper becomes the number one option, and Kincaid probably the two, and then Shakir the three.
Hopefully it's more Kincaid we saw on Monday night and not
Yeah.
Kincaid earlier in the season, which you could
Yeah.
also confuse him for Mark Andrews with the way they were getting targeted. So.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Knox will be in there. Like you said, they're a run first team. Like Josh Allen's not throwing it 40 times a game right now. He's going to be throwing it, 25 to 30 times a game. And they're winning ball games right now. That's the most important part. They got a big win yesterday in the division against Buffalo or the Jets. So yeah, it was a pretty big one there. They cut Valdez-Scantling today. I don't know if you saw that after to make room for Cooper.
Time for
Thank
me to go clean
God.
out my best ball rosters.
Yeah, no, because the Chiefs are gonna pick him back up. I guarantee it.
He's going back.
Yeah, they pick up everybody. So yeah, you had that one. So yeah, that's pretty much it on the Bills side. Let's go over the Cleveland side. Do we really have to?
No.
Right. Well, I think this Cedric Tillman gets back into the starting lineup now, consistently with Judy still in the slot and Elijah Moore still out there too. That's probably going to be your three receivers there for Cleveland right now. You still got. And Njoku, I think Njoku is probably going to be the number one target, don't you think?
Just by default, because everybody else sucks.
Yeah. So you
It's
got
like
him.
every offensive pass play should just be designed to like Njoku as the first read when he's on the field.
Yeah, that's what it's probably going to be. So
I
I
would
would
hope.
expect that. Yeah. Chubb's coming back this week too, but I'm not expecting anything huge there from Nick Chubb. I mean, Watson's still Watson. Like, I'm not valuing, obviously he gets a downgrade here without Amari Cooper. But yeah, I think Judy's the one who benefits the most out of other than Njoku for wide receiver wise, because Elijah Moore just hasn't done shit. Judy at least has some talent, and they paid him a boatload of fucking money, so they're gonna have to force him the ball to earn that money.
Because whatever reason, they thought that trading for Jerry Jeudy and then giving him a sizable contract was a great idea.
Like, what are we doing here, man?
I don't understand it, but yeah, I guess a slight bump for Jerry Jeudy for whatever it is. He might score 9 fantasy points a game now.
Yeah, he's gonna go from 7 to 9. Yeah, I could see
Fuck yeah, let's go move him on up, baby.
that.
Jerry Jeudy or Keon Coleman in Dynasty? Which one do you want?
God, probably still Coleman, but rest of the season, probably Judy, to be honest.
Neither.
Yeah, neither. What do you think Judy's value is now? Do you think he's at least worth like a back end second, or is he?
No, there's no fucking way I'd trade that for him.
Okay.
None. I'll give you a third. That's best case scenario.
Best case scenario. Okay.
Like back end second, why wouldn't I go try to get like Courtland Sutton or something, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you could. There's definitely better players you can get for
I've
a
seen
back end
Courtland Sutton,
second.
you know, get targeted in the end zone.
Yeah, that's true.
I've seen him get open a
Yeah,
few times.
that's true too.
I mean, Keenan Allen, like that's a guy in that range. Fucking Tyler Lockett. I'd rather have Tyler Lockett.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So there's definitely players that you could get for like a back end second that are better than Judy. If you can get trade, a third for Judy, on your best ball team, it's like lineup guy. Don't want to have him in lineup and have to
Right.
start him.
Right.
Best ball, I'll take the shot on him and hopefully I get a couple boom games from him. Just Watson throws a fucking prayer up and he catches it somehow.
Like I'm actually more excited to see Juju Smith-Schuster, right? The corpse of Juju, especially after what we saw from last week. That I am Jerry Judy. Like I really am. Like, so if you told me you had a gun to my head and I had to pay a second for one of those two, I'd probably pick Juju. Cover your ears.
I know the answer on this probably, but do you have any interest in Tillman or Elijah Moore?
Man, fucking Elijah Moore, man. I love that guy so long. It just, he just always breaks my heart. So, no. Like, I'm done. I'm done with him. I'm going to pick Tillman up on some best ball rosters, but that's just because I have a Tanner McLaughlin I can cut. You know, I have a Ryan Tannehill's probably not getting a fucking job. Like, we're 6 weeks in, nobody's said that we've had all these quarterback injuries, and they're like, nah, Ryan, we're good. It's because I got a spot, and I'm like, okay, Cedric Tillman, welcome aboard. See what you got.
Yeah, like I would probably rather pick up Bub Means, who's going to play like 1 week over him.
He would be a higher priority. Like, yes. I'd rather pick up Bub Means. I'd rather pick up, who's that other fucking kid? Tipton in New Orleans. Oh,
Tipton, yeah. Or Jalen Coker for the Panthers.
Fuck yeah. Like, I'm more excited about picking those guys up on my best ball teams than Cedric Tillman.
Yep, I get it. All right, so that's it from the Browns side and the Bills side. I think the Browns probably in the I don't know if they would take one in the first round, but they got to be interested in some wide receivers during the draft next year. They're probably going to have a top 10 pick. I pray to God they don't use it on a quarterback if it's not the number one guy or whatever. They need offensive line help. Their offensive line's old as fuck and overpaid, so they got to get rid of some of those guys. They need some help on defensive line. Like, quarterback is the least. I mean, it is an issue, yes, but the whole team is an issue. Just old, overpaid. They got to cut all these guys and rebuild again and start from the lines.
I assume that it's probably in your best interest if you get a very high pick that you can trade back with another team that is also very quarterback needy and get, like, the kind of Bears situation going, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's
come trade for Shadur Sanders, buddy.
Yeah,
we're gonna trot Watson out again just because he's already on the fucking payroll, but we're tanking again next year. You're gonna do whatever we can, but we're just gonna start stacking assets and really go into it for the long haul.
One of these playoff teams that maybe has some interior line problems, Joel Bitonio. Here you go. Love Joel Bitonio. He's been a Cleveland mainstay for years. Really, really good player, but got to get that salary off your books and let somebody else have him for the rest of his career there at the end.
What's crazy, and I've heard it floated too, just as an Eagles fan, I don't know if it'll ever happen, but Myles Garrett trade. I don't think it's feasible, but listen, man, that'd be a hell of a piece for you guys to move, and some team would pay a shit ton to go get Myles Garrett.
Yeah, I think that's almost has to be like Khalil Mack territory, like two first or whatever it was.
Right. Listen, yeah, I hate paying that much, but shit, if I'm the Eagles, I need another fucking pass rusher in the worst way, and Myles Garrett on that D-line would make me happy. Fuck it. Give him three. I don't give a shit. Let's go for it.
Yeah, I would say that probably won't happen. I think Myles Garrett and JOK are like the heart and soul of the team right now. Like, those two I want to keep. The rest, everybody else can go. Like, there isn't really... Yeah, there really isn't anybody I got to have. Our corners are, I like MJ Emerson, but Denzel Ward, overpaid, overrated. Greg Newsome, overpaid, overrated. Like, those guys can go. Delpit, like, they signed him to a deal. Like, he's always hurt, it seems like, but he's a solid player. But it's safety. Like, nobody gives a shit about safety in the NFL. Like, there's always a million of them on free agency.
Yeah.
Like, Justin Simmons didn't sign till like a week before week one.
And then they paired him up with Jesse Bates, who just had a massive breakout last year. And it's like, what? Holy shit. What a safety tandem. How the fuck do you let the Falcons just walk into this?
Yeah, safeties are kind of like the running backs of defense. Like, there's just a dime a dozen. Like, you're never going to have... you know, some $20 million a year player at safety unless they're like fucking Sean Taylor or something.
I think long gone are the days of Ed Reed and Polamalu and Sean Taylor. Like, those were fun. Those are fun. But now we kind of, safeties have kind of become the running back of the defense, haven't they? We'll just find some dudes eventually.
All right. The other trade, a smaller trade, we won't touch too much onto it, but Cam Akers went back to the Vikings today for like, I don't know, conditional sixth and seventh or some bullshit. But yeah, Cam Akers, I guess he's going to go back up Aaron Jones, or at least Ty Chandler and Cam Akers are going to work together again until Akers blows out another Achilles.
Man, that's harsh. They needed a little bit of running back depth. That's somebody who's familiar with the system, right, from being there for a couple of years. So it made sense for the Vikings, and it made sense for Houston. They got some value out of a guy that they weren't going to use now that Joe Mixon's back and fully healthy. And obviously they value Damian Pierce still on this team because they gave him some work last week, and they felt good enough with him being back too that Cam played well for him. But it was, Agumbawale, too. That fucking dude, like, he's been around for like 35 years, it feels like.
He's like Brandon Bolden, if you remember him. The Dolphins and Patriots. Special teams guy. You know, he'll occasionally get in there, but when he does get in there, he can do the work. You know?
He's a Houston Boston Scott.
Yeah, basically.
Hanging around.
So Cam Akers going there. Like, I'm not valuing him over Ty Chandler. I'd still rather have Ty Chandler. But I think with this trade, it kind of means they're expecting Aaron Jones to at least miss a few games here, two to three games, and then kind of just roll here with Ty Chandler and Cam Akers. And then all those people that thought, oh, maybe Myles Gaskin will be the backup and get some work again. Nope, Myles Gaskin right back to your fucking waiver wire again.
Back to the dumpster.
As much as I love that guy, yeah.
And what's Salvin Ahmed doing?
Nobody ever picked him up. He's still. I don't even think he's on a practice squad.
I don't think you'll be talking about him a lot next year. What do we do, the deep dive?
No, I mean, like, if you're not getting picked up now, like, it's probably over.
It was fun. Yeah. It was fun while it lasted, though. We had some moments.
Yeah, I mean, you occasionally, very, very seldomly, get a guy that, like, is out of the league for a year and then comes back, like, in 2 years and starts making some plays again. Like, the Royce one Street. That's a good one. I think the one that comes back to me, he actually won people a shit ton of fantasy leagues, was Tim Hightower when he went back to the Saints that 1 year. He played at the end of the year for the Saints and like won people a shitload of fantasy championships when he played like for a month. But then, he got cut again and never was heard from again. CJ Anderson, same thing when he was the Rams picked him up.
Rams, there. Yeah. CJ Anderson was that dude in Denver. Then you know.
Yeah. Then everyone thought he was dead. Then the Rams picked him up and like, oh, he could play again.
He fucking outplayed Todd Gurley down the stretch there. He was like playoff C.J. Anderson, too, was the man.
Yep.
Workhorse.
Yep. All right, so we had that. And then some injuries this week, too. So kind of fucking hamstrings galore on the injury front this week. Kind of sucked. What are you kind of doing with some of these guys? I'm actually going to pull up my list from my waiver wire sheets. I know Travis Etienne, hamstring. Jerome Ford, hamstring. Tajay Spears, hamstring. Ramondre Stevenson hurt his foot. Rashad White has a foot injury. Jordan Mason has a little bit of a shoulder injury. So, yeah, these stupid hamstring injuries are coming up for the running backs this week. I think the one I'm most worried about is Etienne. What do you feel about Etienne now?
So you listed off a bunch of names there who all kind of stunk and underperformed this year. The only one that, like, really kind of you're like, oh, man, he was just starting to get going with Ramondre. Ramondre was getting going there, and then gets hurt again. So that kind of sucks. But Jordan Mason, obviously performing well. It didn't sound like that one was too serious, so I don't have too much concern on that one. But the ETN, Jerome Ford, et cetera, you're like, well, you guys were all kind of trending into the shitter anyways before you got hurt. So my feelings are pretty much the same. Like, I was shit my pants if I had you on my teams anyway, so thanks for not doing me any favors anyways. Just confirming the fact that I'm fucked.
Like, I would say before the season, you could have dumped ETN for a first. I don't think you could now.
Yes. No, there's no way now. No way now. I got a horrible fucking trade offer, somebody trying to give me ETN this week that just made me want to vomit. What the fuck would I do this for?
Right. Well, I mean, what would be the price for ETN? I guess a second?
Like, if I had a contender second, I'd throw it on the wall. I'd try it. But even that, like, when you say that, and, you know, I kind of brought this up with the other issue with, like, Jerry Jeudy buying him, is you go out there and you look at all the other old running backs that are actually fucking producing at a higher clip that probably costs the same.
Yeah, can I get a James Conner for a second? Or
exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I'd rather go out and fuck around and find on those guys. Does Jordan Mason still cost too much more than that? Tony Pollard is out there balling. Like, how much more does Tony Pollard actually cost than that? Ramondre, you could buy him low on the foot injury if you want. I'd rather have Ramondre on my team for the rest of the season than ETN. Aaron Jones now with the hip, if you want to speculative buy that. And fucking Najee, people are ready to kill him. And then this last week it was like, oh, look.
Yeah, he gets 100 yards and a touchdown.
You know, Jalen Warren's back and Najee's playing well. Like, apparently he's never going to give this job up. So, like, there's plenty of other running backs I'd rather mess around though than really go out and try to find on ETN. I don't, at some point though, the price gets so low where even I, as much as I shit on ETN and, you know, don't really like him, just give the job to Tank already. Still want him. You want to see.
I remember this last year. Like, I was on a contenders. I think it was me and you on this show. I'm pretty 100% positive it was with you. It was ETN for a league. I think I gave this is when ETN was smashing early on. I think I gave up a first and a second to get him. And ever since that trade, man, he's been fucking terrible.
And we have that. We have those moments, man. The curse. Yeah.
I think I cursed the shit out of that guy, because ever since then he's started to get banged up and not producing like he was. And I mean, obviously Bigsby's been just as good as him, if not better. D'Ernest Johnson's actually produced too. So
we got a shout out to Dynasty Barry too. The Dynasty Barry curse. You know, he makes a trade for Aaron Jones and then he fucks up his hip.
Yeah.
Like, this happens to DB a lot, and I keep telling him, I'm like, why can't you make a trade for Brock Purdy?
let's find out. My opponent has Dak Prescott this week. Can you go trade for him?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll push it to the limit, see what happens.
Right. Oh, man. Yeah, ETN. Rashad White, too, man. Like, Bucky Irving's playing better than him. Sean Tucker had a hell of a game last week, too.
Yeah.
I think Rashad White kind of falls into this. He's only worth like a second now. I've seen, you know, some. I think I saw one league, somebody traded a third for him. A third for Rashad White.
That might have paid too much. Rashad White or Tyler Allgeier, who would you rather have on your team right now?
I probably would still go White, but it is a lot closer than it used to be. That's for damn sure.
All right. What about I don't know, Javonte Williams for Rashad White.
Probably Rashad White still.
Javonte's
just as gross. Yeah.
It's a group of shitter running backs. Singletary.
Ooh, that one's close. Because I don't know, man. Like, Singletary sat out again, and Tyrone Tracy, shout out to you.
Love that kid.
Smashing again, man. Like, I think I don't think they should give him the job back, or at least make it a damn close committee.
Yeah, unfortunately, they probably will. This is the one thing about Rashad White. Like, I'd love to just write him off, Eric, and say he's dead. Like, I would, because Sean Tucker went out and looked good. You know, Bucky Irvin has looked good all season. here's my biggest fear is that when he comes back, the coaching staff still likes him, and it's just this three-way fuckfest with, you know.
Yeah.
Sean Tucker gets 10% of the work. Bucky Irvin gets, you know, 30, 40% of the work. You know, Rashad White's 50%, and you're like, damn it. Like, you're giving him the majority of the work, and he still sucks. Can we stop? Right. Yeah. And we're just going to have to live with it. So, I don't know. Maybe when he does come back, maybe we get some clarity, and it's like he's the one who's getting the 10%. Like, that'd be fine. Make him a third down only guy or whatever the fuck you want to do.
Right. I'd be fine with that, just to see how it goes on those guys for sure.
Make him like that Samaje Perine role, you know, back in Cincinnati.
And then kind of to touch on last week's episode again with Fizz, like we talked about the running backs again, man. There's a whole nother host of running backs coming in next year that are super fucking talented, about 10 to 15 of them, if they all come out, of course. Some of them might stay, but, you know, there's some seniors coming out this year, at least, that I know have to come out. It's going to just spice up the running back landscape even more than it already is, too.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of dudes who just fall off the map and die here. Yeah. So a lot of these guys that we're invested in right now, it's like the clock's ticking. Because you better enjoy it. The new crop comes, boom, they're toast.
Yeah, like whoever gets Caleb Johnson, sorry, you guys are done.
Yeah, you're toast. Whoever gets Jeanty, it's over for that guy, right?
God, I hope the Chargers get Jeanty or Caleb.
I look at this running back list, and like even a guy like Travion Henderson, like where he is, sharing work with Judkins, but Travion still looks good when he gets the football. Like, he's extremely talented. I'm like, oh yeah, he's better than RB 27 on down. Easily.
Yeah, that's gonna be a guy who falls in like the top of round two for us in drafts, because, you know, he's probably gets drafted in round three or something like that. Like, yeah, that's another one for sure. I just keep coming back to like one of those guys goes to the Chargers, man. All in, pushing all the chips in.
Got it. Yeah. Let me ask you though one more thing on Rashad White or Ray Davis.
I think I still go Rashad White, but it's like probably like the Tyler Allgeier thing, same, really, really close.
No, I'm balls deep, man. Let's go Ray Davis, man.
Ray Davis. I mean, he looked great last night. He finally got to play.
Yes.
Yeah. I was kind of concerned because I picked up Ty Johnson in a couple of leagues.
And they started playing Ty Johnson right away, too, and you're like, motherfucker.
Yeah, and then Ray Davis shined. And Ty Johnson didn't play that much, but Ty Johnson's a really good change of pace back, third down type back, you know, come in and get you a couple plays and he can do something. So I like that about him.
Yep. He's kind of always got that Tyler Goodson special place in my heart.
Yeah. Last guy I wanted to bring up before we end the episode here. I want to get your thoughts on Drake May's first week performance. What do you think about him?
This is something I touched with a little bit on with Adam. I was more drunk then. So my thoughts are more clear a few days into it. From a fantasy perspective, you love it. I mean, obviously, you come out as a rookie and you finish at QB1 in your first start. You know, a QB1. Sorry, not the QB1, but a QB1. That was nice to see. You're like, oh, shit, man. And from an NFL perspective, Drake May had some really good throws. He had some big-time moments. He also had a couple really, your line sucks, your receivers suck, and you made a terrible decision.
Yeah.
He had some growing pains. He was up and down, but it was nice to see. It was nice to see him kind of come out, and, you know, everybody thought he was going to get killed and he was going to look terrible, and we're going to have one of these Will Levis from 2024 stat lines where it's like, you know, 9 of 27, 2 picks, and 97 yards. You're like, oh, shit. But it wasn't. It was far from that. So I think that was pretty encouraging, and you can definitely tell that kid's got a shit ton of talent. It made me feel good because from an NFL perspective, I thought there was a real question on who the number one quarterback should be between him and Caleb Williams coming out. Fantasy-wise, it was always Jaden Daniels for me. Fantasy-wise, it was going to be Caleb Williams because of the running. But, damn, I mean, Drake May.
Yeah. I was impressed. Drake May can run the ball, too.
Happy. Yeah, he's athletic, man. Big kid. He reminds me so much of Justin Herbert, which is scary.
Yeah, I mean, I would say almost every week hammer the over on his rushing yards in betting.
He's going to get that label of sneaky athletic, ain't he?
I think they actually the books actually had him at, I think it was 24.5 or 27.5, one of those two. So like they gave him a pretty good line to start. Like I was hoping like, oh, they give him some like 9.5, not realizing this dude ran for like 600 yards in college. So yeah, it was nice to see that on there too. I thought he played great, man. Like clearly better than Jacoby Brissett at this point. So the, you know, it's the right move. If he's better, might as well get him out there now. You're going to have to do some max protects. You're going to have to only run two guys out in the routes or whatever for now. You got to protect the kid. You can't have him getting Deshaun Kizer'd out there.
Yeah, but, you don't want to, like, what, Andrew Luck's rookie season two where he just gets smashed all the time. You know, you don't want to go that route.
David Carr, 72 sacks or whatever the hell it was his first year.
A little bit of vindication for me, too, because on Wednesday nights, you know, got a little pushback when we're doing Would You Rather, and Dak Prescott's name got brought up, and I was like, I'll definitely take Drake May over Dak Prescott. What the fuck, Mike? Then you see Dak, what'd he get you this week? 1 point?
Yeah, 1 point. I think I'm with it. I'm with you there. I think I would take Drake May over Dak.
He looked really good, man. He looked really good. Listen, nobody's really, I mean, he's gone up a little bit on a keep trade cut since then, but it's not stupid high yet, right? Still got Purdy and Herbert and A. Rich and Baker over him right now. So you can still get you some Drake May here before the train really leaves the fucking station. He comes out, he does it again this week. You know, comes out and has another one like that. Now, obviously, this is going to be against the fucking Jaguars. I'm sorry, London. Sorry, Europe, for doing this one to you. We send you Patriots Jags.
I kind of like him as a streamer this week. This might be a fucking aerial show.
That could be fun. That could be fun.
Yeah. I'm hoping to see a big game from Drake May this week. Like, they played the four main wide receivers. You know, DeMario Douglas has finally stepped it up. Kendrick Bourne is playing more and more.
They got Kayshon Boutte off that trash
Boutte, heap. I mean, he played the most snaps this week, a wide receiver, Boutte.
Kayshon like Boutte or Jerry Jeudy for the rest of the season.
I think I still go Jeudy, but it's a lot closer than it used to be, that's for sure.
That's what I'm talking about, E.
I mean, Boutte was out there in a couple of my best ball leagues for waivers this week, so I put in some decent bids on him. But yeah, it looks like KJ Osborne got kind of kicked out of the rotation there. So it's just those main four guys of Boutte, Polk, Bourne, and DeMario Douglas. And so those are decent weapons. And Hunter Henry had a touchdown this week. He's going to be a solid, reliable option, you know, when Stevenson and Gibson are in there. So it's like he's got some weapons. It's just the offensive line is poopy. So they got to do quick throws. They got to max protect, you know, do the double tight ends and have Hooper in there to fucking block, Henry to block.
Here's the thing, too. That stuff. Like you're talking about as athleticism. With him back there, the offensive line didn't look like as bad, right? Because he can move around a little bit, a lot better than what Jacoby Brissett could do. Right. Jacoby Brissett looked like a Phillip Rivers clone statue back there where not a threat at all running the football or moving around. So kind of fixes a little bit of your offensive line woes when you got a quarterback who can move around in the pocket, a la let's look at what Washington's doing with Jaden Daniels, right? That was an offensive line that got Sam Howell fucking killed last year. They didn't really improve too much, and all of a sudden the offensive line's not really a question mark this year. Why? Because their quarterback can move.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I can see that for sure with May. May or Purdy. I know you're not a big Purdy fan, but
I'll take Drake May. The upside's there. Drake May. Okay. Now Purdy, listen, if you wanted Purdy, especially for this season and you're contending, like no real issues there. I think Purdy will probably finish the year better. I think that's a realistic take. He's going to finish the year better as far as fantasy production goes, but I have some longer-term concerns about Purdy. I know everybody gasses him up about his decision-making and, you know, how quick he is, and he's run the ball a lot more this year, which is nice to see. But I think he's a completely, you know, high-end QB2 type. Like, he's just he's not ever really going to be a QB1 overall kind of threat or a top-five kind of option in Dynasty. And then I don't know what happens with San Francisco and their money situation, you know? Mm. Like, this year is kind of locked up, but, you know, they paid Ayuk, they paid Trent Williams, they paid Nick Bosa, and now Purdy's going to come up on the books. Like, what's this team look like when they really got to start hammering down? So long-term concerns are kind of there. You know, what's it look like if Debo's not there? I mean, you can go look at splits without Debo. You can look at splits without Trent Williams, and they don't look very good. Obviously, when you take away a awesome player like that, either one of them, it's going to be worse. So I do have some of those concerns long-term with Brock Purdy. But, you know, if you said, Mike, you're nuts, Purdy's going to outscore him this year, I'm not going to fight you on it. I'm just trying to play the long game. Drake May. What happens if Drake May gets, you know, Tet McMillan next year? Like, it's his number one.
I'm going to get a bottle of Jergens lotion if that happens.
Maybe they sign a couple offensive linemen, shear that thing up a little bit, and all of a sudden he's got a number one wide receiver. Like, get excited, man. Get excited for what that could be.
Yeah. Yeah, that's if I could trade for him, too, like, can I pivot off of Herbert to go get him? Purdy to go get him, like, if I'm not a contender? Yeah.
Here's the crazy thing. Drake May, with what he did versus Houston, which has a very, very good defense, what he did versus Houston has been more impressive than what I've seen all year out of Justin Herbert, just because of the offense, right? I mean, as shitty as New England's offense, the skill players are, and offensive line and weapons or whatever it is, they're willing to throw the football. they're not so set in their ways like the Chargers are, where it's like, we're going to run the ball and we're going to play defense and we're going to limit how much Justin Herbert throws the football. So, listen, you want to take like offense for offense as far as quarterbacks are concerned, Drake May's in a better situation offensively for fantasy points. Now, maybe it's not a better situation for NFL wins or, you know, whatever you want to say there. But for fantasy purposes, it's a better offense because they're willing to throw the football. Chargers, they don't give a fuck. They started out throwing the football last week, and I was like, is this going to be it? Is this going to be the Justin Herbert game that we all been waiting for? Nah. It just kind of was another,
I took the under on Herbert's passing yards under like 188. I think it was 188 or something like that. That fucker had that like halftime. I'm like, motherfucker.
Damn it. It didn't get much more after halftime, though. That's crazy.
No, he didn't. Yeah. I'm like, no, but they came out throwing. I'm like, what the fuck, man?
At least they didn't make you sweat that one, right? They just fucked you right away in the first half, and then we're like, all right, now we're good.
Yeah, definitely. All right, let's go ahead and wrap this up. Let's go ahead and do America's favorite game, and we'll get on out of here. Oh man, what is your favorite movie series? Like an actual series that has like three or more movies?
Ooh, there's a lot of good ones there too.
Yeah, there's obviously like Star Wars, Fast and Furious.
Some of them have ruined the some of them have ruined the series with shitty movies. Like, like Fast and Furious, if you would have went to like 6 or 7 and then just stopped it, goated.
Yeah, once I started seeing submarines and flying space cars. I'm like, what the fuck are we doing?
Swinging from a rope bridge with a fucking Dodge Charger.
It's gotten a little ridiculous.
Yeah, we're good. I'm gonna probably say the last one that they did was dog shit. Like, I could have just done without it. But every other movie in the series was fantastic, and that's Die Hard.
Yeah.
Even the one with Justin Long, was it Live Free or Die Hard? I love that fucking movie. Yeah, it was the last one where he like meets his kid in Russia or whatever, and I was like,
yeah, I actually went to the movie theaters and saw that, and that one bombed so hard.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. Like the last one sucked. The other one I'll say, between that one and the Rocky series.
Rocky series.
Now, the only shitty, I shouldn't say the only shitty, there's two shitty ones. 5 and Rocky Balboa are terrible movies. They're terrible. But they fixed themselves when they went to this Creed series. Yeah. Like when they continued it, but they just made it Creed, and all three of those have been fucking bangers. Absolute bangers. So,
100%.
Maybe you're back onto something.
I don't think the Rocky Balboa one is as terrible. I think 5 is terrible with, what was it, Tommy Gunn or whatever the hell his name was.
Tommy Gunn.
I didn't like that one. God, there's so many different ones. So I'm just kind of looking at my wall over here of stuff. So I obviously Star Wars I really like, besides like the newer movies. God, they were so fucking dog shit. I do like Fast and Furious, but they, like you said, these later ones have been so bad. Absolutely love James Bond movies. So I don't know if you can really count that as a series, but
Yeah, I would, because you got
okay.
multiple series within them, right? Like
Yeah, that's true.
you have each, you go to the real old school, you get some, Sean Connery, if you want to go that route.
Yeah. Oh,
Listen, as
yeah.
much as people give Pierce Brosnan shit, I like the Pierce Brosnan ones from the 90s. I really do,
That's what me
because
and you grew up on.
I grew up on them, man. I grew up on them. They were
Yep.
fucking awesome. I loved them.
Yep.
And then the Daniel Craig ones have all been fucking
They've all been
phenomenal.
bangers. Yeah,
Every
like
single one.
there's maybe one that's okay, but all of them have been pretty damn good. So yeah, I've always been a James Bond fan. The Batman films, I've always liked Batman a lot. Shit, what
I'll say
else do
this too,
I?
man. Underrated. Jurassic Park. The only one I
Yeah.
didn't like was that when they remade these last series, the second one, where it was like it became Jurassic Mansion or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, the
Yeah, I was like, come
mansion.
on, yeah,
Yeah,
what are we
when
doing?
she's the
But
dude selling.
so then when they came out with Dominion, I was like, like you guys just fucked me on the last one. But no, they did a really good job with Dominion. I like that one a lot, so.
Yeah, that one wasn't too bad. Shit, what else is out there? I mean, I'm sure there's millions and millions that I'm missing. Oh man, I gotta come up. I love Lethal Weapon, man. Lethal Weapon is just it's
Yeah,
so fucking good.
it's always good.
I
I
always
like
love
Lethal
going to
Weapon too.
those.
I like
Yeah,
that one
like
too.
whenever it's on TV, it's the same with Die Hard. Lethal Weapon or Die Hard, always on. Like around Christmas time, Die Hard 1, Die Hard 2 are always on. Fucking gotta watch those.
I can always get behind some Beverly Hills Cop too, Doesn't matter
Yeah.
which one. I'll watch those.
Yep.
I love them.
Yep, those are solid.
Old school Eddie Murphy is my fave.
One from when I was a kid. I haven't watched them in a long time. I would love to go back and watch them and see if they hold up. But the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles live action movies from when we were a kid, from like the late 80s, early 90s.
I bet if we watch them now, they're really trashy, but I'm gonna leave it in a fond memory of loving them when I was a kid.
I will take the second one to the grave that that's a fucking great movie with the ooze.
It's a ooze, yes.
Yeah, and the Kenny, I think his name was Kenny, the pizza boy that
Yep.
would come in and help them out and stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, that movie I liked a lot.
I even like the samurai one. With
The samurai one I think is the worst of the three, but it's I haven't watched it in so long. I might have to go back and watch it when I have some time.
not bad, not bad. There's a
Yeah.
lot of good series out there. Star Wars has been pretty good, but
Yeah,
also
the
kind of like
newer
I said
stuff's
with every
bullshit.
series, there's always some movies in there where you're like, what the fuck was this?
I hate horror movies. I like horror movies with horrors in it, but horror movies.
I've never been a horror fan.
No, me either. But the only series that I like is Saw. And that's just because of the mind fuck, the whole like storyline of everything
Go away.
is really, really good, yeah. So I'm not really big into the like the horror parts and cutting parts off and shit like that. But I do have all those movies because I do like the whole storyline and mind fuck of it all.
Well, along those lines, I'll give you the scary movie franchise, right?
There you go.
Like, I didn't watch some of the last ones that they did or whatever because it was just overplayed. But, like, the first three that came out were all fucking great. Like, especially the one where they got Pam Anderson running away and then she gets stabbed in the tit and they pull out a implant. What the fuck? You guys are all psycho. They had the Charlie Sheen one where they're playing on Signs, the movie Signs coming out. It was scary movie franchise. It's stupid, but I love it.
Yeah, stupid humor is always good for us, that's for sure.
They used to have, you remember that used to be a big thing too. They used to make all those parody movies,
Yeah.
like yet not another teen movie.
Yeah.
They had the like American Pie chick just walking around school butt naked. So what are we doing? Was
Yeah, I
perfect for me
remember
when I was
that.
a teenager.
Yeah, not so much nowadays, that's for sure. Oh.
Not the same. A lot of good franchises
Yeah.
though.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of some other ones, but I can't really off the top of my head. So I'd have to go over and actually look at my case over here. I'm like, oh yeah, how about this one? How about that one? So
Well, you got the Lord of the Rings series, you know, a lot of people
yeah,
really enjoy
Pirates of the
that one.
Caribbean.
Yep.
Those ones were decent.
Some of the more you know, girly kind of stuff. You had the Divergent series, you had the
Oh
Hunger
yeah, Hung
Games.
I love Hunger Games. Hunger Games is my favorite. I like Divergent too, but they didn't make the fourth fucking movie, so it's like what the
You
fuck.
got the Christian Grey series, adaptation to movies.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Nope. These are all shit I've been forced to watch over the years.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, my wife tapes my eyes open.
Ugh, that sucks.
You think she'd get a little horned up, you know, watching 50 Shades of Grey, but it never happens. So I don't even get nothing out of it. Nothing. It's disappointment.
Oh, just more disappointment. Yep, that's for sure.
Ah, yucks.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're gonna wrap this one up, guys. Thanks for joining in at Eric Vanek NFL, at America's Game Pod, at South Harmon FF on Twitter and YouTube. Make sure you guys like, rate, subscribe, all that good stuff for us. I would really appreciate it. Sunday mornings, do the Start Sit Show. Come join us live on the YouTube as well. That's been a lot of fun with Matt and T-Rock this year. So yeah, come and join that on Sunday mornings if you need some help with your start sit decisions. Last week we did really, really good. DJ Moore, we told people to start. We told people to start Tyrone Tracy, all that good stuff. So we helped out a lot of people last week. So if you were involved in that, you're welcome. And come join us again this week for it for sure. But Mike, anything you got before we wrap it up, buddy?
No, just the podcast feed's so big. You guys are listening to it right now. If you do us a huge favor, rate it. Give us that 5 stars. We've earned it. Leave a review if you're on Apple. So I don't think Spotify lets us do reviews yet. So Spotify's fucking up for sure. I don't know why. Fucking Spotify. Rate and review, baby. Helps the podcast a lot. Recommend it to your friends. Unless you
Yeah,
don't want them to
absolutely.
beat your ass in your league. Then
Yeah,
keep it to
definitely.
yourself, I guess.
Yep, absolutely. So until next week, guys, for episode 65, we will see you. Good luck.
See ya.
We'll see you.